Every morning, Terry and Armstrong talk Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 8th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm doing really well, Taryn. I'm ready to break stuff down. I'm ready to not get to any, you know, conclusions, but I'm ready to, you know, dig into what we've got so far. It's going to be a fun season.
Yes, it's our first real live feed update of the season. And so we've got a lot to break down here, a lot to guess at, a lot to to try and figure out. And, you know, we are on East Coast time here in the Big Brother Canada house. So they are already, they've been up for hours at this point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I woke up at 8 and stuff was going down. So, yeah, it's been good. It's been good. We're getting a lot. I mean, for the fact that we know we're going to get some cutoffs, and by some, I mean a lot of cutoffs, this is a good start, at least.
Yes. They did not get a lot of sleep in the Big Brother house last night. Didn't happen. All right. So let's get to work here. So this is the first update of the season. I feel like we're mostly just going to try to explain where the house is at right now. In terms of actual like events that happened, we're not going to follow as closely to the timeline. We're just going to try and explain what we have deduced, and as well as some events that happened that may further explain what we're talking about. So the basic layout of the house right now is that there's a big group of about 9 people. The Pretty Boys has sort of attracted a bunch of side parachute alliances, and they have globbed up together into this sort of super group of 9 people that consists of Dane, Adam, Mark, and Anthony, the Pretty Boys, as well as Sam, Kaylin, Steph, Kiki, who is KW Kira. We are calling her Kiki for now, and Chelsea. So that is the group of 9 people. And within that group of 9 people, you've got the Pretty Boys, who are still together and still trying to keep that a secret. So they are secretly working together, even though they are part of a larger group. This is not the brigade strategy. The brigade was never a part of a bigger group, but they are keeping their tight 4 of guys a secret for now. Who knows how actually loyal all of them are to it, but they are telling each other that they still are, and they have kept it a secret so far. You also have Adam and Sam, who are still kind of a thing. We'll talk about their relationship as we go on here. Dane, Mark, Steph, and Kiki seem to have some kind of thing going on there. We didn't see a lot of Mark, but we saw a lot of Dane with Steph and Kiki. They seem to have a good relationship. Mark and Chelsea seem to know each other from before the house, and so they seem to have some sort of special connection. And overall, this is not a very cohesive group. They're already talking about potentially targeting one another, particularly Kaylin and Sam, and there's a lot of, I think this is good for the Pretty Boys in the sense that it's a very loosely tied together group, with the 4 of those guys being the glue that holds everything together and keeping each other safe. So that is the layout of the strategic portion of the house. The rest of the house guests are on the outs, so to speak, here, Pooya.
Yeah. So we've got this, we've got Adam's dream come true. This is kind of what he wanted in the preseason, and whoa, look at it. He's got what he wanted. He manifested it. But you're right. It is pretty loose right now. There are entanglements. You know, some people don't like this person, some people don't like that person. Some people are wary of these two, but not those two. So there's a lot of movement here. There's a lot of fluidity, which we know Mackie loves because he wants to be the teapot and the water bottle. But so far, it's looking like these are kind of the core nine, or at least the nine that are going to have a voice in how this week shapes up. And we'll see where they end up at the end of the week to move forward.
Yes, it is. It's an interesting group here. You know, this is probably the biggest alliance that we've seen on Big Brother Canada so far. This is normally more of a Big Brother US thing that we've seen. Mm-hmm. It's very reminiscent of the Bomb Squad at the moment.
Yeah.
More so than the Brigade right now, though that may change eventually. So Dane has won the HOH, as we talked about last night in the spoiler section. Dane is the new HOH, so this group of nine is going to stay in power here. And his plan at the moment is he's thinking about nominating Kira and Mackie. They call him Mackie or
it's Mackie.
It's Mackie.
Yeah.
Mackie just doesn't sound as good to me personally. Kira and Mackie are the targets for nomination here. Still a little bit up in the air in terms of which one is going to be the actual target, but that's what's going on right now.
Yeah. So Dane kind of has this idea because what we haven't seen you guys mentioned last night that Dane indeed won the HOH. Eddie was close. And apparently I'm not quite sure what the makeup of this competition was, but he promised Eddie in front of Canada. So we're going to assume it's going to be on the live show, on the show proper, that he's not putting Eddie up. And apparently Eddie was one of the names that was going to put up, is what like his group thought was going to happen. But he's made this promise, so it's not Eddie. So he's leaning towards Mackie. It looks like, again, the morning started with it looked like Kira was the one he wanted out, but then basically he's had a conversation with her. Mackie is like kind of the pawn, but he hasn't even talked to him about it yet. He's going to talk to everybody now after he has his many smokes and his run that he's been saying he wants to have for the last 2 hours. So stuff's still going on here. There are like three names on his list right now, which is Kira, Mackie to start, and then one half of what I'm going to call Sam Dam, and we're going to try and make that happen. Samantha is the other name that's kind of in the mix right now.
Yes. So basically, Kira... So Dane becomes the new HOH. The feeds come on, and Dane is pretty quickly telling people, well, I can't nominate Eddie. That was going to be the plan, but Eddie did so well in the HOH competition that Dane ended up making a deal with him, or some kind of agreement at least. And so Dane feels like he is not comfortable putting Eddie on the block, and he thinks that if he did that, Canada would hate him. They feel like Eddie is probably well liked by the Canadian audience. Probably true right now. Yep. So it's weird when they get those things right. So Eddie is off the table. He also doesn't want to put Damien back on the block, which means Damien is obviously an option and remains an option moving forward, but not for this week. He wants to make sure that Damien doesn't get nominated two times in a row. This is not due to any sort of strategic connection, as far as I'm aware. He seems to get along with Damien, but it's mostly just out of, hey, we already just did this to you, so I don't want to do this to you again. So those two are off the table, and there are only five other people in the house beyond that alliance of nine. One of them is ineligible for nomination, being Corey, which means there are four people eligible for nomination, which means if two people are off the table, that leaves two people, Kira and Mackie. So those are the people he's settling on. Kira in particular, because we are learning that Kira was apparently doing some shady stuff, some shady business while the feeds were, you know, not on for the first week. In particular, she seemed to be stirring the pot a little bit, maybe saying some things to Sam about, hey, maybe Dane is coming after you and Adam. I think Kaylin might have been involved at some point. There's some real tension between Sam and Kaylin in terms of Sam saying that Kaylin is a pot stirrer and a liar, and Kaylin is going to be proposing the backdoor plan to Dane to go after Adam and Sam. So there is potentially some truth to, I guess, what Kira might have been saying, but she got caught essentially by either Sam or Kaylin or both or something. And Dane knows that Kira was talking about him, and he is not pleased about that. So Kira is on Dane's hit list. He is definitely sure that he wants to put them on the block.
Yeah. And this is the first piece of information we really got once the feed started, was that we saw Kira talking to Chelsea, and they were talking about what you just insinuated, that she messed up, something happened, they let it slip, and now they feel like they're on the hit list, and they feel like it's their week to go. So this kind of starts, and this ends up being the little bit of ripple that ends up taking over Dane's HOH right now.
Yes. So so that's the potential nominees here for now. Some more stuff they were talking about. The first thing that I heard when I turned the feeds on, and I tweeted this out because I was not there when the feeds went up because we were podcasting. So I turned the feeds on. The first thing I heard was, and she is not 29. Come on. And they were talking about Corey. Corey,
yep,
who has entered the house and is 29, but maybe doesn't look like it, maybe looks a little bit older. They're saying Corey is 29 like Mama K is 29. So they don't believe that Mama K, as Kaylin, is 29. They think that she is obviously much older. And they also think that, like, what is up with the 29? Why are people claiming to be 29 when they're not? Mama K clearly isn't. Corey clearly isn't. And they're right about one and wrong about the other.
Yeah, yeah. The interesting thing here is that it doesn't seem like it's hurt Kaylin, which is, you know, you'd think this would be a big problem, but it's going fine. But I think that being a thing, them feeling like that's already treacherous, and then Corey coming in with this age as well, and they just, based on what they feel like from the first one, they're like, nope, this one's not 29 either. What's up with the magical number 29? Why do people think 29 is going to work? And this being said by Chelsea, who's like 30. So it's interesting that they both have the same age now, because now they're both being seen as liars where really one of them is not.
Yeah. Interesting stuff there. Sam does reveal that she knew Holly, and that it would have been interesting if Holly was the person to come in, but obviously it did not happen, so not particularly relevant anymore. Kira talks with Chelsea. They feel bad for what they did previously, that we're not entirely sure exactly what went down, but they don't want Chelsea to get dragged down with them. So, you know, that's it. At first, we thought that this meant that they were maybe close, but then Chelsea was kind of throwing them under the bus a bit and feeling totally fine with them going up on the block. So probably not quite as much. Kira is really going to go around feeling defeated all night. Basically, they are like, I know that I'm screwed at this point. Dane is obviously going to be coming after me, and I'm dead in the water here.
Yeah. And this feeling trickles over into today. They definitely look defeated, and they had a long conversation with Dane, which we'll probably like touch on later. But it's not good, and I just hope we get to see what they did on the show, so that we at least have an idea, since it's clear that we're probably not going to find out on the feeds with regards to what happened there.
Yes. We also are going to get some of Corey attempting to complete her task here to make three final two deals. Why three? Why not two final two deals?
Yeah.
It's just easier to say that way. Three final two deals. Her first target is going to be Eddie. She wants to try and get Eddie to get a final two with her. She goes into the bedroom with Eddie. She says, like, hey, so what's your story? And so he talks about his life. He opens up about moving to Canada by himself and tells her about his parents. And she's interesting to listen to, because I don't know if this is because she is doing this task and she needs to make a final two, or if it's just her personality, we don't really know yet, but she's a little over the top, a little like doesn't sound super genuine all the time when she's talking to Eddie, and when she's talking to a lot of people, she's, oh really, oh wow, I can't believe it. Like, she really sounds like that, which is interesting. So we'll see. Maybe it might just be the pressure of everything coming down on her, but it was interesting to hear. Yeah. So Eddie, he's opening up about this stuff. They eventually get down to talking game a little more. She talks about wanting to work with him. He's like, well, listen, I got to know. Do you have any kind of powers? Have you been watching us? They're convinced that Corey must have a power, or at least has been watching them. Essentially, the Damien thing. They feel like Corey must. Oh, she talked about, hey, Mackie, can you teach me how to do a handstand? Or no, she was like, I just want to learn how to do handstands. And they were like, Mackie was teaching us how to do handstands. Why would she ask that if she wasn't watching? That's such a random thing to talk about. So they're very suspicious of Corey. So Eddie wants to make sure, hey, do you have any sort of secrets? And she says, well, no, of course not. Because, you know, of course she would admit to it if she had any. Yeah. And so she proposes, hey, I want to work with you to the end. And Eddie sidesteps the question. Eddie's like, oh yeah, I hear what you're saying. I feel like what you should do is talk to a bunch of people that aren't me, and you should go talk to people, get a sense of where things are at. And Corey's like, yeah, that's a good plan. I'm definitely gonna do that, but like, at the end of the day, I really just want to work with you to the end, right?
Please? Yes.
And Eddie's like, yeah, okay. We're good. And she's like, all right, awesome. Shake on it. And then Eddie leaves and she's like, yes, one down.
One down, two to go. Yeah, to go back to her demeanor during this conversation, I definitely felt the same way. It did seem over the top. It did seem like disingenuous a little bit, but I gotta imagine it's because the inner monologue in her head, because clearly she's trying to meet and learn about these people for the first time ever, but there's also a hidden agenda that she has to make sure she can steer it to. So whatever he's saying, which by the way, I related to everything Eddie said. I pretty much had the similar track when I moved here 7 years ago. My parents put me through school with the tuition and everything. So I really feel for Eddie more so than I ever did before. But like, you got to imagine she's thinking all these things. If I was talking to him, I'd be thinking the same. I'm like, oh my God, amazing, amazing. But I'm like, all right, so how do I praise you and then say that's cool and then be like, hey, final two. So, and I'm guessing it's like you said, if the editors can piece it together, it's good enough, because she didn't really verbatim say final two. She said to the end and he said, yes, that's good enough. We will take it. Give me this package, down to two more, which two more final threes in 24 hours is insane. Given them, and like, poor Corey, because she comes into the situation where there are nine people that are kind of interlocked at this point. So it's really walking on eggshells here to try and not let other people find out what's going on.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation, and she is going to move on to Kaylin. Kaylin's going to be the next target. She's going to talk with Kaylin for a little while, and you can see she's extremely nervous trying to do this. She's like, she has a similar kind of like get to know you conversation with Kaylin, and she starts to move around to like, well, so, you know, thinking about the game and stuff. And Kaylin is very not non-receptive to the whole idea. She does back off, which I think was the right move here with Kaylin. She decides to not pursue that final two at the moment, at least. And I do think that would have been a big mistake. Obviously, Kaylin, part of this big group of people, she certainly would have told the rest of them, or at least some of them, and that would have been bad for her. So her instincts, I think, were pretty good in the Kaylin conversation to back away from that one. She's probably going to try somebody else, or maybe try a second attempt with Kaylin later. We'll have to wait and see for now.
Yeah, and so one thing we do know, just to go ahead a little bit, noms are today. So that's happening today. I feel like the best thing for her would be to find out who the two noms are and then talk to them in the middle of the reassurance and like they're feeling down. Just throw out a line and they'll be receptive. They'll take it, because why not? I'm on the block. So that's good, but she is running out of time, and I do think Kaylin was the wrong one, so I'm glad she backed out. Because if what Kira has said is true, it seems like Kaylin has the gift of gab and would probably tell other people.
Yeah. So. It's weird, though, because the way Arissa put it made it sound like, oh, if you complete your task, you will receive immunity. But obviously, she can't be nominated. So, right. But the task isn't necessarily going to be complete before nominations. Maybe they'll wait until tonight for nominations, but
right.
Whatever.
Shaky, shaky. We'll see. We'll see how this maps out.
Dane and Kaylin are going to have a conversation. They're going to be playing some sort of game that I didn't care to try and understand. It was not a very good one in terms of games. But during that game, Dane is going to talk to Kaylin, telling her the basic plan of what's going on, and it talks about how Kira used his name twice in 6 days. Nothing is going to convince him to not put them up on the block.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a deal breaker for Dane. Dane doesn't like that. Also, by the way, as the first of quite a few Canadian members who are going to be on this live feed update, I would like to chime in on the tooth conundrum,
yes,
or the teeth conundrum. I've never seen someone without teeth. Okay, in person, never have. I've been to a couple hockey games. I mean, obviously, they must have not had teeth, but I wouldn't be able to see because they're far away. But I will say this. You know how they talk about you wear your scars because people dig it? They like a person who's been roughed up a little. It's like a badge of honor as a hockey player to be like, I don't have my teeth. But I guess also the other thing for me is I don't know Dane. Like, does he walk around without his teeth or does he have his fillers on all the time? Because I feel like if he has his fillers all on the time and now he's removing them because he's been asked to, I don't quite like that. Because I'm with you, Taryn. I'm pro teeth. I love my teeth. Teeth are good time. But yeah, no, it's not a regular thing. Like, I've been here nearly 8 years and I cannot tell you that I've seen like more than two people without teeth. And that was in hockey. There you go.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting a lot of conflicting information from Canadians. Some of them are saying I'm pro teeth. Some of them are saying I'm pro no teeth. And maybe it's a regional thing, or maybe, and bear with me here, maybe Canadians aren't just one conglomerate of a person and they have different opinions.
I mean, that wouldn't make sense, Taryn, given that we're all somehow related and every season there's two or three people that know each other in the house somehow. So it's not helping any favors. But I do think the How I Met Your Mother watchers believe, because of Robin Scherbatsky, that Canadians love their no teeth. And I'm here to say that that's not the case for all of us.
All right. Well, there you go. So anyway, Kaylin and Dane talking about these nominations. Mm-hmm. Kaylin suggests a bigger move that maybe Dane should go after Adam and Sam. Mm-hmm. And Dane says, it's too early for that. And Kaylin says, yeah, you're right. It would have to be a backdoor if we did this week, which we should do. Mm-hmm. And Dane agrees. Okay, yeah, I do think, yeah, a backdoor might work. If one of them wins the veto, maybe we could put up one of them. Obviously, Dane would be putting up Sam and not Adam, which is not what Kaylin would want, but it would be something.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe this is the first step of inceptioning at least one half of Sam Dam into the mix here, because it looks like Dane is at least pondering the idea of Samantha in a situation where the veto is used. Not an initial nom, but there is a backup. So there's that.
Yes, and this seems to be a genuine plan. I think that the pretty boys are not super pleased with Sam in general, maybe a little bit concerned that she has too much sway over Adam. Who knows? Adam is trying to let them know that Adam is going to have a conversation with both Dane and Mark, telling them that individually, but telling them both, like, hey, pretty boys, we're still good. But, you know, just so you know, I'm telling Sam some things that are like anti pretty boys, but don't worry about it because, you know, it's just a lie. Everything I tell her is a lie. I'm loyal to the guys, which is all true, but it probably puts a little bit of worry in their minds. And that worry would be, you know, it would be satisfied. It would be taken away if Sam was taken away. So this right. idea of potentially backdooring Sam is in the mind of Dane here at the moment.
Yeah, which makes sense, because again, if he's feeding any kind of negative rhetoric to her and she wins HOH, he's going to have to do a lot more work to make sure they don't fall into trouble. And as much as Adam comes in saying, I want my four bros and I want us to have other alliances, but this is the main alliance, that's all well and good. But really, there hasn't been enough time for him to show that that's where his loyalties lie. And if there's anything indicative of how Adam is and how he feels towards Samantha, it's very clear that he's into Samantha, and I'm sure body language alone would dictate that to the other people. So they have to be wary. They really do.
And Adam really is into Sam here. The way it was portrayed on the episode last night was like Sam is weirdly obsessed with Adam and he's just kind of like chilling, like staring at her. We don't even know if he is reciprocating at all. We got a very different picture last night on the feeds where Adam is like curled up into a ball sitting below Sam and whining to her about her connection with Mark. Like, hey, you're just like, you're really close with Mark a lot and you talk, you know, you like, you touch him and I don't know, it just feels like if you just like him, like, I don't know, just like, let me know, I guess. It's not a good look.
Not a good look at all. Like, I will say I'm happy that the Fessy voice is going to come back in the form of Adam. I'm here for that. It's also interesting that last season's Will and Veronica have made it into the second season as similar people with a similar interest in one another. So that's another thing we can look at moving forward. There's a lot of doppelgangers this season, Taryn. I feel like Mark is the love child of Alec Beal and JP, Jordan Parhar. I feel like that's something I've noticed immediately. So... Yeah, so looking at Adam, he's going to be very tough to stomach this season. He is my Fessy of this season. I'm not going to like it. But however, he's a very jealous type of guy. And the fact that him and Mark are in this bros alliance, we got to keep an eye out for that and see how this goes. Because Samantha's clearly, you know, playing the game. And Adam looks like he's playing the game, but he's also falling for Samantha.
So. Yes, he definitely is into her. He talked about wanting to kiss her all day, but he hadn't been able to. And Samantha's response to that was like, oh, you got to tell me these things so I know.
Which, so romantic.
Yeah, not the response I think you want when you tell someone that. So, you know, I my guess right now is that Sam initially was really into Adam and then Adam became really into Sam. And then she saw how like weirdly jealous and possessive he might be here. And the attraction is kind of dissipating as that, because it literally changes the way that you look at somebody when you see them curled up in a ball complaining about how you're touching another guy too much.
Yeah, again, in the beginning, I feel like we, for those of you who watched the challenge, I feel like within the first two episodes, there was a guy who did this and then left. So, rule to be learned, you like someone, like them. But if you're not with them, you have no right. I mean, you have no right generally to dictate how they behave with other people. So, Adam, slow your damn roll.
Yeah, it's never a good idea. No. I talked about this on Twitch last night, just like... If you ever feel this way, you need to start looking inward and figure yourself out, and then you can deal with other people.
God, yeah, what a mess. What a guy.
So that's happening here. Mark, definitely in my eyes, we didn't see a lot of him last night, but based on his positioning and his supposed relationships with other people, seems to be doing a lot better than I think I certainly anticipated. Certainly most of the panel that did the draft a few days ago anticipated. So he seems to be doing decently well here. Anthony as well seems to be in a pretty good spot. We didn't see a whole lot from either of them last night. Could be that we're just assuming the best based on how they're positioned at the moment, but they do seem to be doing pretty well. And Mark in particular seems to not be the sort of hyperactive intense guy that I saw in the interview with Aika. He seems to be a lot more chill and you know, seemingly cuddling with the women, and the women are fine with it, which I really thought he was like the nerdier kind of intense weird guy, but apparently not. I got that totally wrong.
Yeah. The one person who's vindicated through all this is Rob by picking him. So there you go. Good job, Rob. You're killing it. No, Mark and Anthony do seem like the two that are more low radar in this bro group. I mean, the other two did win competitions so far, and one of them is involved in this coupling that everyone's noticing. But it does seem like Mark is kind of going through building social rapport right now, which is really good for the first couple weeks, especially because his teammates are winning, so he doesn't have to worry right now. He can just, you know, continue schmoozing people, talking, and getting better footing in the game, which he's already done a good job from what we've seen thus far.
Yes. So Anthony also seems to be doing decently well, although he doesn't seem to have as many individual connections, you know, as much as he is in a good spot because he's protected by the guys and by the rest of this big alliance. He doesn't seem to, outside of the pretty boys, you know, Mark has a thing with Dane and Kiki and Steph, and Mark has a thing with Chelsea, and Adam has a thing with Sam, and like they all have connections outside of their their personal group. Anthony may be a little bit more of the Enzo here, a little more isolated, in a great spot, but not exactly having a lot of options in terms of if he ever needs to make his own move. But again, very early days here. We'll see where this goes in the future. So Adam is thinking, with these two nominations, Kira and Mackie, hey, I kind of want Mackie to go. I feel like Kira is not that big of a threat. And so he is going to talk to Mark about that. He's going to talk to Dane about that. Dane initially is not super keen on the idea. Again, he is still pretty upset with Kira and the fact that they, you know, dropped his name twice in 6 days. It's not going to initially connect, but this morning Dane seemed a little more receptive to the idea. He talked about potentially taking Mackie out of the game. Mackie seems like a bigger threat. He talked to Kira and told them, you know, hey, you might be going on the block, but you'll be safe. You're not the target. There are bigger threats than you. He also has been speaking to Mackie for the last like 10 to 15 minutes, I think, and telling him that, hey, you're going on the block, but don't worry, you're not the target. So he is going to have some decisions to make. Also, to throw a wrench into this mix, Kiki this morning has been talking about wanting Kira gone because she was uncomfortable because Kira was trying to snuggle with her last night, something along those lines. And so she feels very upset about that and was not comfortable. And so she is feeling like she wants Kira gone. She's being reassured by some of the guys, like, don't worry, she will, Kira will be targeted. So, you know, you don't have to worry about that. And so that's another wrench being thrown into this mix.
The way it looks with Kiki is that Kiki's going around telling people, retelling the story, and wants other people to be like, yeah, no, because Kiki feels bad about this. She feels bad that she feels like weird about it. And she wants others to be like, no, you know, they should know that you have your personal space and like they were violating your personal space. Like, you shouldn't feel uncomfortable. So this whole narrative is going on. As you mentioned, this morning, Dane and Kira had a long conversation over a couple smokes outside about life, about some of Dane's past, and then about some of Kira's feelings. And they had a very deep conversation. You can tell, Taryn, that Dane does not want either of these two really to go, because his other thing with Mackie that he keeps going back and forth is, I offered a deal with Mackie. He didn't take it in the HOH. So I kind of feel bad, but also like, I don't want him to feel salty after I put him up. So I just hope he understands that he's the pawn. But then now the Kira thing's going on. So more and more, the more we're getting into today, it's interesting because I really do feel like it looks like Dane might really want the veto to be won and used, because then he can put up Samantha and all his problems are gone. Because it does seem like Dane's a nice guy and he is making these connections and he is feeling his feelings. He did mention he's a sensitive guy, so he's going to feel his feelings here. And it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. But it does seem like with the Kiki information that's coming to light, that I think right now it's tipping the scales. Kira looks more in danger than Mackie, but then it could easily go back and forth depending on where this veto goes.
Yeah, it's been, you know, last night it was looking like Kira for sure. And then this morning it was starting to look like Mackie was definitely the target. And then the Kiki thing happened. And now it seems like it's a little bit back on Kira, but it is a bit all over the place. Something to maybe note is that not everyone in the house is observing the correct pronouns for Kira, which makes it even harder to talk about because you're relaying what they're saying and then you're like, wait, but I gotta make sure.
Right.
So, like, I'm very annoyed at them for doing that. They seem to be trying their best in front of Kira. Adam did make a mistake and then changed it and apologized, and Kira said, don't worry about it. But when Adam is not in front of Kira, and, you know, same with a lot of the guys in particular, I think they are referring to Kira as she and not really doing a lot to try and make sure that they are, doing it correctly or correcting themselves. So yeah. That's something to note, I guess. It's a lot of them are trying, but it's not always coming out in the right way here.
Yeah, and hopefully if they are unaware of how to do it, or if this is something they have not encountered, whatever the case may be, hopefully they do educate themselves moving forward. And especially Adam learns, you know, about all these things and how to say things and what he should be saying. So let's hope. Let's hope that Adam the dummy gets better with time.
Yes. So now Dane is talking with Kira again about Noms. I think he is planning on telling them that they're going on the block. But again, because he was kind of vague about it before in terms of, you know, you might go on the block, you might not. And so I believe in this conversation, he plans on telling them that they are going on the block. But to not worry, probably. So who knows where this conversation will lead here. But anything else, Puya? Anything else that we need to be talking about here?
Anything else? I feel like we've touched on everything. It does seem like we're heading into NOMS today, so it'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out. Dane is definitely conflicted. You know, his initial conversations, he's talking about, you're not my biggest threat. Just know that you're not my biggest threat. That's all I can say right now. Trust me, you're not my biggest threat. He is going to go through these individual conversations today one by one, so we'll see if anything comes out of those. I feel like people to watch out for. Kaylin is very interesting to me because I feel like I haven't seen all that much from her yet. But at the same time, it looks like she's linked really good with Dane, and she didn't really want Mackie going up when they were talking this morning. So we'll see what her impact is in this game. And then the other thing is, you know, for some people, obviously, BB Can is more of a newer entity around these BB streets. A lot of people don't know how to access. What I can tell you is, you know, go look at Hamster Watch. Go look for BB Viewer. Find these things and you'll get all the information you need on how to view both feeds and the show proper. This has been a fun start to the season and I'm excited to see where it goes. And I got to say, going into yesterday, like everyone, I didn't really care whether it was Cora or Holly. After having the one night, I want Cora to stay. I think there's a lot of potential there. And I really hope she's able to get all of these final twos that she needs to make it to tomorrow.
Yes. BB Viewer really is your one-stop shop. And if you just need something simple, it's a program. You download it. It's very easy. And then you can watch the feeds on it. You don't need a VPN. You can watch the episodes on it as well. So, it's everything you need. If everything else is a little too complicated, just check out BB Viewer. Something else I think to mention is that, Steph is somebody that we didn't talk about too much. She is involved in this big alliance, as well as a sort of side thing with Kiki and Mark and Dane. I noticed a little bit of Dane seems to have a little bit of flirtation, both with Kiki and with Steph. I think with Steph, it's more of like just like Steph is kind of a flirty, touchy person. I think with Kiki, it's a little more serious with Dane. He talked about potentially wanting to sleep in the same bed as her. I think they maybe had been sleeping in the same bed, and they talked about like, oh, we can't sleep in the same bed because that'll put a target on us. So I don't know if that's necessarily a thing, but it's maybe something to look out for. Steph, in general, though, seems to be in a good spot. I think that she is doing everything that she needs to do in terms of, you know, playing up her strengths and everything. I'm very very upset that that I did not go with Steph over Kira in the draft, even though she was higher on my board. I thought I could get both of them. Did not work, and now Steph is fulfilling my hopes, and Kira, unfortunately, so far has not been doing as well. So,
yeah. Also, Corey, not Cora. That's a my bad, guys. We're all good. I'm still learning. Yeah, no, I think Steph is in a good position, and Steph's going to be like the silent killer. This is kind of the situation where I'm intrigued to see where her trajectory is moving forward now. Because like you said, well-situated and doing decent, and is no harm to anybody right now. It's just safe and doing good and just building connections similar to Mark. The other person I feel like we didn't really talk about at all is Chelsea. Mm-hmm. But also, there hasn't been much to report on the Chelsea side. It does seem like Chelsea is kind of a person that people feel candid enough to talk about things with. Kiki was relaying this stuff about last night to Chelsea. And then when feeds opened up, Kira was talking to Chelsea. So I feel like Chelsea looks like someone that people trust enough to just have conversations in front of and talk through things with. So that's a good spot to be in as well right now.
Yes, Chelsea was in the talks initially when they were talking about who is Dane going to nominate. Chelsea was right there talking about, oh, it's probably going to be, you know, Kira and Mackie. So she's definitely got good connections with this in this group of nine. She is not she's kind of in the Kaylin position where she's not individually aligned with super with a lot of them, but as opposed to Kaylin, she is seemingly trusted by many of the people in this group, whereas Kaylin is kind of seen as a little bit shady, somebody not to necessarily be trusted. And again, she has this connection with Mark that they talked about how they knew each other outside of the show, and that they had a mutual friend, and like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we made it to the final two? And then we were like, hey, we knew each other all along. So that is something to watch out for. We talked last night about how if Holly had come in and Sam had known her, that is a huge advantage, even if there's drama between you. So this is a connection to look out for, because these two players are both, they both know the show really well. They both seem to have a good head on their shoulders. They both seem to be pretty good socially, and they're both very well situated in the game in terms of the alliance and how things are playing out. And they now have this connection to keep each other tied together. This could be a pair to watch moving forward. And if I was thinking about like who are the most dangerous people in the game, it's probably these two right now.
Yeah, and we've seen instances, like I alluded to earlier, of like people knowing people in these BB Can houses. When Allison came in BB Can 2, Kenny and Allison knew each other, but they were more, Kenny was more worried about it at the start. They ended up being on the same side, which was good for them. But it looks like these two are just like two peas in a pod right now. They like each other. They're not really quite like final two aligned with each other, but they've got this understanding that they've got each other's back. So that's a strong tool to have. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that we talked about how everything started early this morning. The archive room now has archives on archives on archives, and people have just been funneling in throughout the morning reading these documents, that there's just so much. And it doesn't seem like there's anything like that's standing out to anybody. Some people are memorizing it. Some people were, Mackie looked like he's just reading the morning paper, having his coffee in there earlier. So it's interesting that they're just going to keep piling stuff in there, and if these people are going to keep up, or if we're going to understand what's going on with it.
Yeah, they're speculating it has something to do with the veto competition, which is probably the case. You know, it, I mean, if I was thinking about like what would be the coolest version of the twist, or I'm sorry, blindside, that this would be, is that if this was some kind of long play where there are some clues in the documents, and the person that figures out the clues that, you know, go into that room over the course of the season is the person that gets the blood veto, that would be cool, which means they're not going to do it that way. So it probably has something to do with the veto competition.
Yeah, they could very well just be giving hints and snippets throughout the season of like, this is coming up or this is coming up, which then is it not a blindside? Because then they kind of know what to look for. So we'll see how this plays out. And it'll be interesting to find out eventually what this blood veto means and how they can access the Leon's Lounge again. Because like you said, if it's kind of like, you know, move the book and open the shelf, that's cool to me. But it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. So we'll just have to start seeing what all this information's about, and then go from there.
Yeah, I remember feeling so burned on Big Brother Canada 3 when Kevin is literally trying to pry open the thing that has don't remember what it was called, the big super secret have not power. He's trying to pry that tile open because he's basically figured it out. And nope, sorry, it's going to the people that did not figure it out because they got voted for.
I hope no one's. I liked when Allison found clues that led to a veto in DB Can 2, and I hope this is like that and not a mid-season, all right, who do you want to win the blood veto? Like, please don't make me choose. Please don't make us have a say. But again, it'll be fun to find out what this blood veto is regardless. So I won't complain too much. It is day one of the feed up.
Just imagine, right? Like, there are all these documents in there. And, you know, then somewhere along the line, a big clue is going to be released in that room. And then one person finally figures it out. And we flash back to, you know, Arissa saying some key words that also coincide with some things in the document. And all of the clues line up and somebody figured it out and gets the power because they earned it. I'm just getting myself all.
Yeah, it's like mid eviction episode, Arissa's like something, your chance to vote, 27, and there's something correlating with the number 27, and then they go look at it, and then the first letter on every line leads to another. Like, I would love stuff.
Could you imagine if she drops a clue in the middle of an eviction, and then one of the evictees goes, oh my god, and just runs into the archive room and opens the thing with their clue and then grabs the veto.
Like, oh my, that'd be so good. That would be so good.
Oh man. All right, so
it's don't forget to vote for the blood veto. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah. So that's all we've got for you today. Hopefully we'll have a better idea of where everything stands by tomorrow. We'll certainly have a better idea of where the nominations are going to be going, and also potentially who the target will be. But I have a feeling we're not going to be completely up on that until the veto happens. So lots to check out, lots to learn. Very excited. It's a pretty good start to the season, I think.
I would say so. I would say the episodes, obviously, with BB Can, we've learned to love what we get from it, but ultimately it does look like the feeds are going to be where everything's at because there's just not enough time and the way they edit things in. The one thing I will say, Taryn, if I may, I am so happy Hasbro is not a sponsor this season. If I had to watch them play Twister or friggin' Monopoly again, like, that was not fun for me. So the fact that they don't have to put that in the show means hopefully we get more time for other stuff. But so far, one night of feeds in, I'm hooked. I'm ready. The morning update should be fun moving forward, both listening and being on, and happy you're doing this, Taryn. Happy to be.
Yes. I don't think this this big alliance is anything to be concerned about. I think that there are enough factions within the alliance who are already looking at each other as targets. There are enough people outside of the alliance that are not threatening and kind of lovable, like Eddie, maybe a little bit Damien. So I think that we'll be okay. This might turn out to be a slow week, but there's also the potential of this Sam backdoor. So I think there's enough excitement here to hold us over. And so I'm pretty excited. I think we've got a lot of dynamics happening, a lot of different ways that the relationships are shaking out. So I'm hopeful and ready for Canada to kill my hopes and dreams. But I'm hopeful.
Yeah, not completely out of the water, just a little skeptical moving forward. And obviously, Taryn, if Samantha does end up on the block, this whole alliance could crumble. People could start having feelings about this because, like, the nine, she's still intertwined in there. So, like you said, there's a lot of directions this can go, and it'll be fun to see. I guess after you said the word Damien, I was like, oh yeah, we didn't mention Damien. But there really isn't much to mention on Damien right now. So stay tuned.
Yes. I really feel like, as exciting as it might be to see Sam get backdoored this week, I feel like it's probably better for her to stay, because I think that she is one of the pieces that isn't fitting with this alliance. And the longer she's in it, the more of a chance that there is that the whole thing blows up rather than they just kind of surgically extract her. So, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But thank you, everyone, for joining us. You can, of course, follow me on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. Puya is at Puyaism. And you can join us tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern, where we update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And then Sunday night, we will be live after the episode to recap what goes down on the Sunday night episode. And then Monday night, we will have our first roundtable of the season. So be prepared for that. Unfortunately, it is not going to be a Liana Saturday. She is going to be a little bit busy this Canadian season, so she's not going to be able to take up the Saturday mantle here. Mm-hmm. She did say she will be back for Big Brother 21, so don't worry. Don't worry. I will, of course, still be here tomorrow, and Mary will join me. We're calling it Mary Mondays minus two. That's Merry Mondays minus two is
catchy. Happening. That'll catch on real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. Yeah. Liana's on Yatus for this season with all the other podcasts. I'm sure we're going to enjoy those. And happy birthday to Liana. It's her birthday today.
Guys. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Happy birthday, Liana. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I will see you next time.